morning. Good to see everybody. Want to bring you up to speed if you're not. We are in week 6 of our Lessons from the Old Testament series. If you're maybe a guest this morning or haven't been here, we are doing a series entitled Lessons from the Old Testament about people from the Old Testament who lived usually 3,000-4,000 years ago, but reminding ourselves that their lives are very relevant to ours today. We tend to look at characters in the Bible and think, well, those were Bible people. No, there's nothing new under the sun. They had the same flesh, temptation stuff. The world was a little different, but basically the same stuff. And so we have talked about Joshua, we've talked about Joseph and Eli and Elijah and David, and today we're going to be talking about King Solomon. Now, today's another great example where we could go for weeks and weeks and weeks about Solomon's life, but we've got, you know, 25, 30 minutes here. So King Solomon, what's the first thing you think of when you think of King Solomon? Now, don't yell out wisdom, because I know what all the men think. Did you guys know that Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines? And you know what? If you don't know what a concubine is, look it up, but be careful. So 1,000 women at Solomon's disposal all the time. I mean, men, you know, oh, wow, that'd be horrible. Can you imagine how much he got nagged? I mean, seriously? I think that's why Solomon wrote so much of the Bible. You know, it's like he wanted to get into his study where it was quiet, it was just him. And so that's why Solomon wrote several, all the women hate me now, but that's all right. So just a bad joke, guys. But when you think of Solomon first, you know, I think wisdom. I think about wisdom. Proverbs 4, which of course Solomon wrote, verses 6 through 7 says, "Don't forsake wisdom and she'll preserve you." How true is that? Wisdom to make good choices, to do the right thing, to live life God's way, to make good decisions financially as parents, and on and on and on. And life's still tough. Nobody, we're never perfect, but wisdom is huge. It says, "Love her and she'll keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all your getting, get understanding." It's a big thing. Wisdom. Now, the world will tell us wisdom means a lot of different things, but guys, true wisdom comes from God. It comes from His Word. It comes from His people. It comes from studying His Word, from preaching. It's just so, so important. The world will tell us wisdom comes from all kinds of different places. And sadly, society, and especially our young people, are getting their wisdom from MTV and from reality shows and from Facebook posts. And from stuff, this world is so meant to separate us from God, but wisdom comes from God alone. It's not automatic. We think a lot of times that wisdom comes with old age. And there are a lot of correlations with old age and wisdom, because generally, we get wiser as we get older. Now, not always. You ever met some really ignorant old people who they have not aged well? We think that wisdom just inherently comes with age, but it doesn't. And I can prove that because I have a story about an old couple. That's right, it's story time. Everybody, come on closer. The story about the old couple that was out for a drive, George and his wife, and they're driving down the road, and you guys have been there probably, where George is going a little fast, and they pass the cop, and next thing you know, he sees the lights, and the cop turns around, and George is, oh boy, here we go. So George and his wife get pulled over, and the cop comes up to the car, and "Sir, did you know you were speeding?" And George looks at the officer and says, "Oh, officer, I'm sorry. I had my cruise control on. And, you know, I guess just when the speed limit dropped, I must have forgotten to turn it down." And before George can finish, his wife looks and says, "George, that's a lie. You know you were speeding. I told you 3 times you were going too fast." George gives her a look that was not very nice. So right after then, and George gives the dirty look, that the officer looks in and said, "Sir, while we're here also, did you know your taillight was broken?" And George says, "Well, officer, I'm sorry. That must have happened when we were parked at the restaurant a few miles back, and something must have happened. That's brand new." So sure enough, George's wife pipes in, "George, how can you lie to this nice officer? I've been on you for a month to fix that taillight." George again gives his wife just a look that could kill. Before he can even go any farther, the officer looks in and says, "And sir, I'm also going to have to cite you for having no seatbelt." George looks up at the officer and says, "Ah, officer, I'm so sorry. You know what? I took my seatbelt off to reach down to get my license when I saw you coming to the car." Here comes the wife again. George's wife looks and says, "George, you know good and well you never wear your seatbelt. Why are you lying to this officer?" George, having taken all that he could, turns to look at his wife and says, "Woman, would you just shut your big mouth?" The officer then stops and leans into the car and says, "Ma'am, is he always this verbally abusive to you?"
To which George's wife looks up at the office and says, "No, sir, usually only when he's been drinking." That was an old couple that was not wise. That's based on a true story. I don't know. But guys, how important is wisdom? We hear that word wisdom. What does that mean? Oh, a wise. We think of someone wise. To make good choices. To say the right thing. To have foresight in dealing with people and situations and relationships. Wisdom that comes from God is important. And Solomon tells us how to get wisdom. He, above all else, above other than Jesus, I believe throughout the God's Word, leads us towards wisdom. But I will say this, this isn't our first lesson, but Solomon's also a great example of this. If you know his life story, which we'll talk briefly about today, as his life goes towards the end, Solomon's also a great example of, and it's just like with us, we preach so often here, there's no way to really walk with Jesus and live the abundant Christian life and for life to be what God wants it to be without being in His Word consistently. And that's true. But Solomon, with wisdom, also points us to, it's great to have wisdom, but you've also got to apply it to your life. It's great to know God's Word, but if we ignore it or choose not to try to live it, then what good is it really doing us? In Solomon's life, if you know the story with the women, and we'll get there, he had wisdom, but he also got away from that wisdom. So, if you're a guest or you don't like me, you can ignore me, but we are, of course, this series doing homework. So your homework for this week is to read Proverbs. Read a chapter a day, read a couple chapters. The book is filled with wisdom and life advice. Amen? Amen? I read Proverbs more than any other book in the Bible, and I read God's Word all the time. But Proverbs, it's just every day I can find some stuff in Proverbs that applies to where life is. It's just Solomon had so much wisdom. So Solomon, King Solomon, he lived about 2,900 years ago. He lived in about 930. He lived in that 900 BC range. Of course, he was a prophet, king of Israel. His father was King David, who wrote the Psalms. That was his father. Solomon built the first temple in Israel, which is a big deal. This was the temple that David saved his whole life for. We're talking billions of dollars in today's currency of gold and silver, etc. Solomon's mom was Bathsheba, as in, remember 2 weeks ago, King David, the Bathsheba. Yep, that was Solomon's mom. And guys, that's our lesson number one today. Because some of us here today, and I'm at the top of the list, even though I came from a great family, I come from an awful past of sin and of my own decisions, etc. And our lesson number one that Solomon shows us, the fact that he was King Solomon, he wrote Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, is that it doesn't matter where you come from or what you've done as long as Jesus is your Lord and Savior today. It's really not about, because some of you, you know, my family didn't go to church. I'm the first Christian in my family. Then you're the one, and God has chosen you. Because it doesn't matter where you came from, as long as you're following the Lord today. And we'll jump right into our second lesson from Solomon's life. And again, I encourage you to take notes, because I could preach on Solomon for 6 months. You can read Proverbs, but some of these lessons God has chosen for us to talk about today for a reason. And our second lesson is how critical prayers are in our lives as Christians. Not just that we pray, because guys, our prayer life can mirror our flesh, our humanity. It's very simple to just pray for me. What I want, what I need, my kids, you know, my church family. But prayers and how we pray are so important. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to 1 Kings. 1 Kings is towards the beginning of your Bible. I believe we've read some 1 Kings for homework in this series. But we're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 3 if you have your Bibles this morning. And we're going to listen. Here is Solomon. He's still young. He's just been appointed king. And he's praying to God. And notice he doesn't say, I want victory over our enemies. I want the nation to be rich. I want this for me and my family. He prays a different kind of prayer in 1 Kings chapter 3, starting at verse 5. It says, "The Lord appeared to Solomon and said to Solomon, 'Ask, and what shall I give you?'" So if God said to you this morning, anything you want, go. What's the first thing? You don't have to, don't shout it out. It's the first thing you'd ask for. Money, better health, your husband or wife or your kids for this. Really, be honest. You get one thing. Just you name it. It's yours, God says. Would you pray that revival comes to this town? I hope that'd be our first prayer, that people find Jesus. No amens for that? Guys, what would you pray for? Where are our hearts at today? Why are we sitting in church? What are we doing? I'd pray for the lost. I'm not trying to sound like a martyr, but that should be our heart's desire. And listen to what Solomon asked for. Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, righteousness, and uprightness of heart. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child, and I don't know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Solomon didn't say any of these other. Solomon said, "Give me wisdom. Give me wisdom so that I can lead your people, God." And I think about our prayers, and it's good to pray for our jobs and homes and children and health and all these things. But as God's people, as a church, you, me, all of us together, daily your prayers and my prayers need to be praying for the lost and praying for our church. And do your prayers, be honest, do your prayers include, "God, what about how God says to pray? How Jesus teaches to pray?" We pray for God's will. We pray for His glory in our life. We pray for the lost. We pray for the church. We pray for each other. And then we can get around to asking all those other things. What did Jesus say in Matthew 6:33? Seek first. Listen, guys, seriously, seek God first. Seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, His stuff, and then all these other things will be added. Jesus promised it. Just, yeah, focus on God. Be God-minded. Be God-centered. If you're a Christian, yeah, we're Christians, then Jesus and His way and following Him should be the center of your life and your home and all that you do, and everything will spring out from that. And God will bless that. Because look what happens here. This is our third lesson. Before we talk about God answering His prayer is this. The abundant, joy-filled, peaceful, blessed Christian life will always start with seeking God first and obeying His word and living righteously. Not perfectly. No, none of us are. But you know by our lives, and you know the people. You could look around here, second service, and you don't know everything about everybody, but you know who's about the Father and His business. You can just kind of have a sense how they act, react, treat, love, serve, give, do. Their countenance, their demeanor, we just know. And so because Solomon asked for wisdom to bring God glory and to be a good man of God and a good leader, listen to God's reply. It says, "The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, 'Because you have asked this thing and have not asked for long life for yourself, you haven't asked for riches for yourself, you haven't asked for the life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, for wisdom. Behold,' God says, 'I have done according to your words. I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall there be anyone that will arise after you. And I have also given you what you haven't asked, riches and honor, so that there will be nothing like you among all of your days among the kings.'" God's, because see, we can't fool God. Solomon really just wanted wisdom so that he could glorify and honor God with his life. And God says, "Great, then I'll give you all this other stuff because you're really just faithful and true to me." And when our hearts are that, God rewards and blesses that. I'm not talking about just about or about finances. I'm talking about life as a whole. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you and I. And that's our second lesson. That life always begins with seeking God first. It just does, and it always will. Solomon was wise. How many of you guys remember, for example, the story of the baby, where the baby is brought in? There's two women, and the two women bring the baby in, and they say, "It's my baby. No, I'm the mom. No, I'm the mom." And Solomon then kind of tricks them, and Solomon says, and they did this on an episode of Seinfeld, if you ever watched that show, with a bicycle. But we'll stick to the biblical story for church. So they bring the baby in. Two women say that they're moms. And Solomon says, "I'll tell you what, since you guys can't decide, cut the baby in half and each of you take half the baby." And the one woman says, "Fine." The other woman says, "No, give her to the other gal because I'd rather this baby, I love this child, I'd rather it live than cut the baby in two." And Solomon, of course, then looks and says, "You get the child. You're clearly the child's mother because you love the baby, you care." Solomon, stories of his wisdom are just incredible. He was an incredibly wise man. But we also learn another lesson from Solomon's life, which I think for us as Christians today is something that we really need to think about in today's world, and we need to be careful about. This is relevant to my life, to your life, and in every relationship we have. But Solomon kind of teaches us also our fourth lesson from Solomon today, which is to be careful about your relationships. Be careful about your relationships, your friendships, all of those things. I remember a story of a Christian I knew some years back, and they were having some trouble, and it was consistent. I kind of, what's going on? And they, you know, they said that, here's the people in my life that really are my go-tos, my, you know, and I looked and I said, none of those people are Christians, are they? But you are. Do you see a problem there? Unfortunately, the person didn't, but they should have. Not that we're unfriendly or we shut people or family members out if they're unchristians, unless they're pulling us in, then that's different. But we have to be very careful about our relationships. Do you know what caused Israel? You know what caused Solomon, the kingdom? You know what caused their downfall? It wasn't the wives or the women, but it was the idolatry that they led Solomon to. It wasn't that he had 700 wives.
Wow.
It was that they led his heart away from God, because a lot of these wives weren't approved by God. 1 Kings, go forward to chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. It says, "But King Solomon loved many foreign women as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites," and a bunch of other words. They were real countries and kingdoms back then, but I can't hardly pronounce them. He says he loved them. But they were from the nation of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, "You shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods." Solomon clung to these in love. Yeah, if you didn't just get that, I bet there's some stuff in some of our lives and some of your lives today that you're clinging to that you got to let go of. No matter what you think it means to your life, God has very explicitly said in His Word, no. No. Or maybe it's something you're not doing. And God has said, yes. We've got to be obedient. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. God said to Solomon, "You've got wisdom. I will give you riches. I will give you blessings. I will give you women. I will give you long life. I will give you, just don't marry foreign women." And what did he go and do? He married foreign women. Now listen, what does this mean to us today? Here's the deal. If you're married today and your partner is your husband or wife is not a Christian, win them by your conduct. You don't get to divorce them. You get to love them and try to lead them to Christ all that you can. But I'll tell you what it means if you're here today and you're not in the sacred, holy matrimony of marriage and you're yoked with an unbeliever is you shouldn't be. Now, that's so unpopular. I'm not even going to look who might be here today or later that's in a relationship, and one is and one isn't, and they never come back to church, and I don't want that. But God tells us very explicitly throughout His Word to not be unequally yoked. And this doesn't have anything to do with height or nationality or color. You know, one of my kids, well, what if I married someone that was of this race? I said, I don't really care what they look like. I care if they're a Christian. I don't care who you date. But they better be a Christian. Well, they believe in God. No, I mean a Christian. Everybody believes in God these days. It's a big deal. And this is what happened to Solomon. And so if you're here today, maybe you have children. Maybe you have nieces, nephews, grandchildren. Maybe you're single here today. Listen to this. Save yourself a lot of heartache. Don't even go on a date with an unbeliever. Because the Bible says not to. It says your life will be better. You stick to someone who has your beliefs of following Jesus and Him being first in your life. It'll save us a lot of trouble. It would have saved Solomon a lot of trouble. This applies to friendships as well. It just does. I'm not telling you to end friendships. I'm telling you to be careful. This is for all people. You know how many marriages I've seen lost because of bad friendships and bad advice? A Christian is married, but the friends, they don't care. So they get bad advice, and I'm like, you need to be going to godly men and women. If you're a man, you need to complain about your wife, go to your pastor, go to a godly man. Don't go to any woman, and don't go to an ungodly man. You're a woman, you've got problems with your husband, you go to one of your pastors or an accountability partner. You go to a godly woman, no one else. But it's true in friendships as well, is to be very careful about your relationships. Be very careful, because our human nature, our par, for you golfers out there, is away from God. Mine is. Yours is. That's our natural state. No, I'm a Christian, so I'm just always going to be a Christian. If I die daily, if I seek Him first, if I have my heart surrendered to Him on a daily, consistent basis to let His Holy Spirit lead my life in love, and same to you. And so with my friendships, I have to be careful. We have to be careful with our relationships. The Bible really forbids us from entering into relationships with unbelievers. The Bible says in business, unless you can not avoid it, don't do business with unbelievers. Unless you just can't avoid, don't be unequally yoked in any relationship. That's just God's best and God's way. But our final lesson from Solomon, and guys, again, we could spend months in Proverbs, but if you've known me any amount of time, you've heard me quote it. You know, we all have life verses, and but we all have certain scriptures. But the one that I read, the one that I apply to my life, the one that I can be making decisions daily and go to in my heart is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It just is. Trust in the Lord, Micah, with all your heart. And the second part of verse 5, if you get nothing else from today, if I get nothing else from today, and I consider myself sort of smart, my wife would disagree, but, you know, is lean not on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. Your heart is the most deceitful thing in the universe. Your understanding is so far, usually, unless it's of God, our own understanding, our own human nature, our desires, our emotions, our thought processes are usually off. It's when our minds are renewed and being renewed, when we're being led by the Holy Spirit, when we're filling our mind with His Word. And guys, I'll guarantee you today, the most Christian person in this room is getting their mind filled with a lot more stuff on a daily basis than they are of God's Word. Because I got to go to work, I've got to be in the world, I've got to raise kids, I like to watch TV, I have a smartphone. My mind, even though I make that time I have to have in God's Word, there's a lot more other stuff being thrown at me than God's Word. So I can't, and you can't, lean on our own understanding. But in all of our ways, all of our ways, we have to acknowledge Him, and He'll direct our paths. And there's human nature as well, the compartmentalization. I will acknowledge God on Sunday, and I will acknowledge Him on devotion time. But this part of my life, no. And I struggle here, so no. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. So just a couple of, since we've got a few minutes this morning, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Which means we have a full commitment to Christ. A full commitment to Jesus as our Lord and Savior. C.S. Lewis has a great quote. And it's so true. Yeah, the Chronicles of Narnia guy. Yeah. And you guys have probably heard it. Christianity, your belief in what Jesus means to your life, it's one of two things. It either matters completely or it doesn't matter at all. There's really no in-between. We love the in-between because it feels safe and comfortable, but it's really not. We lose out. If God made us and Jesus loved and died and rose again for us and He's coming back again and we truly are sinners in need of His grace, then Jesus is the Son of God and He has conquered death and He is our Lord, then that should matter everything to our life. It shouldn't be pretty important. My faith is pretty important. My church is pretty important. Jesus is the Lord of our lives and He is on top of everything else. A full commitment. A full commitment. A guarding of our hearts. We have to guard our hearts because what? Because out of our hearts spring everything. And if our hearts don't belong to Jesus, then we're going to have stuff springing out that's not good. He's God. We have to trust Him. He's God. You and I just aren't. I'm going to read a couple from Job chapter 38 again real quick. Let's remind ourselves that God's God and we're not. This is God making fun of Job. And I read it to myself. When Job was going through a lot and questioning God, and God said to Job, "Hey, who is this who darkens my counsel by words without knowledge?" He says, "You prepare yourself like a man, I'll question and you shall answer me." Remember, this is God. He says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Who decided where the seas would go? Who's commanded the morning? Where's the way to the dwelling of light? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? He goes on and says, can you bind the cluster of Pleiades or loose the belt of Orion? God says, I've made 100 billion galaxies. That's what we've discovered so far. You and I are fallible, flawed, weak, flesh and bones. And our job is just to trust God. To trust Him with all of our heart. To guard our hearts. Think about, we talked about last week about Joseph. Look at Joseph's story and what that poor man went through, but he kept trusting God, and God blessed him for it. Think about Daniel. We could go all throughout the Bible. Who said, I'm going to do life God's way, and God blessed him for it. The lesson from Proverbs 5, to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, is that God is trustworthy and our hearts are not. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Here's another one. I preached this here about three and a half years ago, and is the same message really today as it was then, about 3, 5, and 6, which is to lean not on our own understanding, which is, guys, we should have a healthy distrust of ourselves. You don't think I need to have a healthy distrust of myself because I'm the pastor? I've got a really big distrust of myself. I need the Lord, I need His Word, I need you, I need my wife, I need these guys, I need the Holy Spirit, I need God's Word. Because all of us, left to our own devices, are just not going to be what God wants or needs us to be. This is very anti-society, this is very anti-human nature. Because what? It's all about ourselves these days. It's preach, it's shoved down our kids' throats on kids' TV. It's be self-sufficient, be self-reliant. You're a woman, you be a feminist, you're a man, you're of this race, you're of this political party. Identify with all these things. No, we identify with Christ and Him crucified, period. Period. And it's beautiful. And we understand that we die to ourselves because ourselves are bad. This flesh and bone, your flesh and bone, it's bad. One day you'll have a new perfect one. This one is for 90-100 years if you're very lucky. It's all you get. Who you are, being transformed into Christ as a Christian, being made to look more like Him, means you'll have a healthy distrust of yourself because we're inherently sinful and rebellious. And we can't be trusted unless our rebellion and our sinfulness has been crucified with Christ on the cross and we're surrendered and dying to self and belonging to Him. Jeremiah 10:23 says it's not in man's way to determine how he should live. So how many love Jeremiah 29:11? I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to give you hope and prosper you. Amen. Praise God. It goes on to say when we seek Him. But the same Jeremiah, God is speaking in Jeremiah 10:23, and there He says this. He says, O Lord, I know the way of man. It's not in himself. Listen. It's not in man who walks to direct his own steps. It's just not. And I don't get mad about that or offended or think, well, whatever. I think absolutely it's not in my ability to do what's best for me. It's in the ability of the wisdom that comes from having Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and being led by His Holy Spirit that He's given me. And by marrying those things with the third part of the Trinity, which is God the Father and His Word, that's how we have a good life. Proverbs 12:1, talking about this as well, says, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. I have been stupid a lot in my life. I need the correction of God's Word on a daily basis. On a daily basis. I don't even remember, Bill and I were doing something this week, and I remember I said something or did something or thought something, and I said, it's too early in the morning to repent. I had something that came to my mind, or I said something, or had a thought, and I'm like, you know what, that's wrong. I don't need to think or feel that way or say that. I need correction. I need to understand to have a healthy distrust of myself. Proverbs 12:1, he who loves instruction loves knowledge. Loves that wisdom. loves that wisdom that God teaches us through Solomon's life is so crucial. How much time did you spend in God's Word this week renewing and filling your mind with the truth of His Scripture, with the truth about His love for you, with the truth about how to live, with the truth about forgiveness, with the truth about how to raise your kids and handle your money and live your life and choose your how things go at home and at work? And we could just go on and on. How much time did you spend in the truth of God's Word, reminding yourself that your life's not about you? Our lives are about Him. Our prayers should be about Him. Our wanting to get wisdom should be about Him. How many times, and I'm going to stop the prayer thing right here. How many times this week did you pray that lost people find Jesus? And if you didn't, don't beat yourself up. But this week, put that in your prayers. What's our commandment? What's our commission as a church? To love people and to make disciples, to see people find life, to see people transfer from hell to heaven, from death to life, from sin to grace, from unforgiveness to forgiveness. As a church and you as a Christian, that's what we're doing here. That should be in your prayers. In Proverbs 3, the end of it, 5 and 6, verse 6 says, "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Acknowledge Him in all your ways. Live every second of your life acknowledging that Jesus Christ is absolutely in control of your life. He's absolutely in control of your heart, that He's Lord of your life. There ought to be no doubt in our lives. Dan, we're going to close in just 1 second this morning. We'll have a chance to pray together. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. That's a lesson from King Solomon. Guys, there should be no doubt. Not that we're perfect and we don't have bad moments. But there really should be no doubt to the follower of Jesus who has surrendered their life to Him that you and I are Christians. Now, when I use the word Christian, not the cheap version that the world uses today. The Christian that doesn't live a righteous life. The Christian that doesn't come to church. The Christian that doesn't believe in the truth of God's Word and what it stands for. The Christian that goes with the... That's the world's definition of a Christian. Christian means Christ-like. Surrendered to God. Surrendered to His will. Wanting His glory. Living in love and forgiveness. And when that happens, Jesus says this. He says, "The righteous will shine forth as the sun." Here's what I want you to pray about as we sing today. Would you stand? We're going to pray and sing in just 1 moment. If you guys would stand with me. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Guys, I want you to think about when you look at the sun, how it makes you squint and you have to just look away and it's overpowering. The light of the love that God has put in your heart when He forgave you and forgives you, the Holy Spirit He has given you, the grace He has shown you, your life should be shining to when people look at you, they should go, "Wow, that is something." Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning in prayer. We come in humility. We come in thankfulness and praise that You love us, that You've forgiven us. And Lord, I pray from today that we would go from here as Your people and more so seek wisdom. Seek first Your kingdom and Your righteousness, and all these other things will be added. That our lives, Lord, should be about You. And when they are, when our hearts turn to You, when our hearts turn back to You, You'll add all these other things. We are looking, and people here today are looking for all these other things, but we're looking for them first and the answer first when You're the answer. You're the answer. Pray our hearts would seek You in prayer as we sing. In Jesus' name, amen.